So, Father, we just thank you for this night and or morning, depending on where we're at. We just thank you that you're going to bless it. We just praise you for all that you're doing in our lives. And we just come against principalities and powers to try to bring any distraction, try to bring any fear, try to bring any issues in the equipment or in the bandwidth. And we just thank you that we're going to have no distractions. We praise you, Lord. Just allow us to edify you tonight and be used of you tonight. And we just thank you for just this body that you brought together to pray for each other and believe for each other just to share what you're doing in each one of our lives, Lord, and just to bring more truth into our lives and to expose what's in us and the stumbling blocks and more of the truth and everything that comes forth in this time together. So, Lord, we just thank you for blessing it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Lord. But, all right, we were just, I was just talking, you know, prior to the call with Joe, and we've been praying for his son that has been pulled into video games, and he's gaming instead of studying, and I see it as it's definitely a ploy of the enemy. It's definitely to draw, you know. Yeah, it's not just children, you know. It's when Father's Day came out, all the ads had Xboxes and all this, and it's drawing fathers away from the family, and it's drawing children away from, you know, reality. And I was sharing with Joe that, you know, I was dealing with that with one of my sons that, you know, had a spirit of addiction and was really addicted to the video games. And, you know, and growing up, I mean, I really tried to limit the amount of time. We'd only allow them, you know, an hour a night or something like that. And my one of my sons would be very obedient. The other son was like, oh, there's always an excuse. Well, I lost track of time or this or that, or, you know, I'd let him know there's five more minutes. And he would always, you know, he would just, there was an addiction there. He'd always stretch it out. And I would always, you know, try to limit the games that they played. I mean, we basically just had a Wii, and, you know, there was some, you know, some certain games, but, you know, they wanted to, you know, play the games that were the, you know, shoot 'em up, killing and all that, with, you know, violence and blood. And I was like, no. And as they got older, you know, they would bring games to me, and I would, you know, I would look at the game, and I would just, you know, from time to time, I would buy them a game if I felt it was, you know, it wasn't full of violence and sex and, you know, all the things these games have got in them. And there was times I would throw fleeces right in front of them. I'd, you know, pull, you know, three quarters out, throw them on the floor and say, no, the Lord said no. And they'd see, you know, three tails or whatever it was. And so during that time, I was just trying to be led of the Lord and kind of weak to them. And, you know, cause you know, you're hearing all our, you know, they go over to their friend's house and they've got all these, you know, all these, games and stuff. So it was definitely a trial in our house, but I had to, you know, kind of try to stay, in authority. But as my older son got into his, you know, let's say late teens, and especially, you know, when he, you know, he was, you know, coming to a place where he was graduated out of school and he was going into the workforce, and all of a sudden the job he had went from, you know, 3 or 4 days a week down to 1 or 2, and I'm telling him, you need to go out and get a new job. And there was a fear about looking for a job, I knew that, but on the other end, there was an addiction to the games. He would much rather be playing the games than in the, you know, out looking for a job. So I had to be led of the Lord. There was a time where, you know, there was a, you know, when I tried to limit the games or that, it would, you know, bring some flare up.
Does everybody have their phones muted?
All right. Got it. All right, anybody else need to be muted?
My phone.
All right. Anyways, I was just sharing that, there came a time where there was just, it was becoming more of an issue, and I really had to be led of the Lord. And I know praying and binding up principalities, and the Lord was exposing the principalities and that. And, it was an addiction. It's a spirit of addiction. And, that's what we're kind of talking about. And, we're standing in faith with Joe that the Lord's going to give him wisdom in this whole situation, as far as that. So, and I even talk, I got a friend of mine who's an athletic director in a local college, and that's what most of the guys do when they're not in class is they're back in their room gaming. And it's just, it's a huge problem. And, they're not in the gym playing basketball or, whatever. They're all in their rooms gaming, and it's a huge problem. And it's just a ploy of the enemy. It's just a ploy of it's just the world draw and that. So let's just, Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you're giving Joe, that you're going to guide and direct him. You're going to give him words. You're going to give him dreams. You're going to give him wisdom as far as, with his son. And Father, we just ask you just bring a renewed mind in his son, just a conviction in him that he will see the truth and the truth will set him free. And Lord, just expose the addiction. Just expose the lies of the enemy. Just expose the lie that he's believing. And we bind up that addiction now. We bind up those spirits now, those spirits of entertainment and the spirits of competition and the spirits of that are drawing him in. Lord, we just bind him, and we just thank you, Lord, for just that he's going to get free. And we put our faith together with Joe and Nora. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. Anybody else need prayer? I've got a few people muted right now. I think Star unmutes you. So anybody else want to pray or have anything they want to pray about? Hello?
Hi, Tim. I was wondering if you guys could pray with us about the incoming house inspection. It's the same house that we're down to the final stages of getting to the new mountain place, and there's supposed to be like an important house inspection that needs to be approved, and that would take place between 8 and 12. And so once it passes, we'll be able to move into the place next week, and next week we're required to be out of this condo that we're in right now. So we're back down to the last stage, and so if you could all pray and believe with us that the inspection passes beautifully, that would be great. Yeah, thank you very much.
All right. So Father, we just put our faith together that you're going to, there's going to be no complications as far as in this home inspection, that you're going to have favor as far as in the eyes of the inspector, that there's going to be total favor there, and that there's going to be just no, we just bind the enemy from trying to bring any confusion, trying to bring any distractions, anything, any issues up. And we just forbid that in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you that they're going to have total favor with this home inspection, and that this whole thing is going to come together, and they're going to be able to move and get into this new house that you've brought into their lives, Lord, moving them up to the mountain. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we put our faith together that it's going to go just smoothly. And we believe that in Jesus' name. We praise you for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, Lord, I mean, the Lord always takes us to the last minute. It's awesome. So, all right, anybody else have anything they want to pray or praise report?
You know, this morning, Tim, we got another verse in the morning prayer group. It was in Joel 3, chapter 3. Let's see. No, not 3. Hang on. Chapter 1, I'm sorry. Joel chapter 1. And starting out in verse 13, and this is what we've been getting for the last few weeks. Let me read it first, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Gird yourselves with sackcloth and lament, ye priests. Wail, ye ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meal offering and the drink offerings are withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the old men and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as destruction from the Almighty shall it come. We've been getting these types of verses for the last few weeks, and I'd like to pray for the elect that God would protect them, and I think that's what the Lord wants us to bring it to call this fast here for the local here anyway, and actually for anyone who wants to seek the Lord about what's coming. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, I just lift up your elect all across this world, Lord, and I ask and I pray, Father, that you would show them if they're in danger and harm's way, Father, that you would show them where they needed to move to, where they needed to go in order to get out of harm's way. And Father, I know that you can protect them and wherever they are. And I know you will too, Lord. And I just pray your protection and your guidance and your provisions upon your elect all over this world in the days ahead, Father. I thank you for your warnings, Lord. I thank you that you have called us to a fast. And this fast, Lord, I ask and I pray that you give us visions, you give us dreams, and you give us words of knowledge, prophetic words, Lord, about what's coming and how this thing is going to transpire, Lord. And I thank you for all you're doing in each one of us in Jesus' name. Father, and I ask that you make it so clear that people will understand, hey, this is perilous times that we're in. And Lord, that they would draw nigh to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that's interesting, you know, talking about the priest and the ministers, you know, putting on sackcloth and, you know, fasting the flesh and crying out to the Lord. And I was with a brother yesterday, and he was just sharing just some craziness that's going on in his work. And you know, there's a principality over the place where he works, and he's trying to be, you know, he's in there, he's believing and that, but he's just seeing the curse everywhere he looks, and he's just seeing just division and backbiting and gossip. And I mean, it's just like and most of these people claim to be Christians, and it's just there's no Christ there, and he's trying to be a light, and he's getting worn down. So I've been talking to him about spiritual warfare, and you know, that he needs to get prayed up, you know, before he goes into work, and he needs to just, you know, pray and that. And we've been talking a little while, and he said he had a big meeting that came up, and you know, he was praying and binding up spirits and binding up this division and binding up rejection and binding up all these spirits that he sees and the people that he works with. And And he went into this meeting, and he said it was the most amazing meeting he's ever had. And he said it was just, he just saw, you know, the Lord. And he never went into that deep of spiritual warfare before he walked into a meeting. And when he went into this meeting, it was like the best meeting he ever had. So we've been talking about that. And this morning I got up and I was praying for him, and I asked the Lord for a word. And I got a word in Deuteronomy 18, and it says, I'll just read a little bit of this. It says, the priests, the Levites, even all the tribe of Levi shall have no portion nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offering of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. And I was just seeing that as a type of, you know, Israel is kind of the non-spirit-filled, you know, I kind of see that in our day as far as the ones that call themselves Christians, and that, you know, we're not going to have an inheritance with them. And that inheritance, I mean, it is a possession, it is a heritage. But our possession, our heritage, you know, our is really in the Lord as far as that. It's not with the part of Israel, you know, to partake in what they're doing or their inheritance, you know. And they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he has spoken unto them. And I saw that as far as not having an inheritance, you know, as far as possessions or, you know, heritage among our brothers, that we're not to see our brothers, you know, in the flesh. You know, we need to see them in the spirit. No man after the flesh. And we just have to pray and have faith for them. And because, I mean, we need to be Levites. And be the light, you know, as far as that. And it says, and this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be an ox or sheep, that they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw. And when I looked that up, I saw, number one, it said, them that are offering a sacrifice. And there's not too many Israelites out there that are actually offering a sacrifice. They're not, you know, bringing their flesh to the altar to be burned. And some of them, you know, I mean, that are, some of them are oxes and some of them are sheep. And, you know, we've got to, you know, you know, different mix out there, and what they're bringing to the priest, you know, the shoulder actually is the arm or the strength, and the two cheeks, when I looked that up, it's actually the fleshliness of the jawbone, you know. So I saw that, you know, as far as the flesh, and the maw is the belly. And it's actually the first stomach of a mammal that chews the cud. And, you know, so I'm just saying that, you know, it says, from the first fruits of thy grain, of thy new wine, and of thy oil, and the first of the fleece of the sheep shall thou give him. So it's what, you know, what are they bringing to, you know, as far as for the sacrifice. I was seeing the first fruits, the grain, the wine, and the oil, you know, as, I mean, I was seeing that as the fruits, you know, the new wine and the anointing. I mean, that's Christ. I mean, it's the Christ that's in them, whatever that is. And the fleece, when I looked that up, it's, you know, it's that which is cut off or sheared. You know, with that's what's cut off the animal or the flesh. And, you know, the people that are bringing the sacrifices, they're bringing, you know, what they have, but not many are bringing the sacrifices. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all the tribes to stand as ministers in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. So I was just seeing this, that the Levites were chosen out of all the tribes and as ministers in the name of the Lord. You know, to minister in the name, in the nature, in the character, in the authority of the Lord. And it says, if the Levite come from any of thy gates out of all Israel, where he sojourneth, and come with all the desires of his soul unto the place which the Lord shall choose. And it says, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, and all his brethren, as to all his brethren, the Levites do, who stand there before the Lord. They shall have no portion to eat besides that which cometh out of the sale of his patrimony. And that and that's actually the you know, from the fathers, or from the father. When thou art come into the land which Jehovah their God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. So I was just seeing that, you know, we're not to do as the abomination of the nations or the peoples that are around us, and that we need to be Levites, you know, that, you know, we need to be dead to our flesh, that we need to be in a place, we need to be sojourners coming out of the world, and so we can be used of the Lord, that we can, you know, be Levites, we can be, you know, we need to be disciples now, learning what we can learn, and walking in obedience to what God is showing us, and walking in obedience to what we know at this time. And, you know, not getting pulled into the abominations of the nations around us. And so that was kind of the word I got. And I was just seeing this in the spirit, and that we have no inheritance in this world, but our inheritance is from the Lord. And we just have to just know that and believe that and not get pulled in. So that's the word I got this morning, and it kind of talking, you know, as far as the priests and ministers. So, all right. Any comments, any thoughts of sanctifying a fast, crying out to the Lord? Just
what's interesting to me, actually telling, very telling, is that the Lord is just telling us time and time again. He's never done this before in the last 4 years that we've been doing these morning meetings, has sanctified a fast just time after time after time after time. And that's telling to me and possibly to y'all too that, hey, look, we're coming into this thing. He wants us to be sure we're right with him. We want to be sure that we're in this bride company before this thing starts. And I believe that's why the Lord is doing this. I think we're right here at the precipice of this great happening here.
I'll share with you what I had this morning. Kind of falls in line a little bit with that. I was somehow I got into 1 John. I don't remember how I stumbled into that this morning, but I was doing a lot of things. And it was 1 John started in 5, and it says, this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If you say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, I thought, you know, I was looking it over and reading it, and I thought, well, what's light? What's darkness? What are they saying that in the Greek, just to get a fuller idea? You know, because it's kind of light and darkness. He's making this abstract idea, I guess, about the art student, I'd really be on top of that, but I wasn't. So I thought, okay, let's grab this. And I went and looked up the Greek, and the Greek came out with to shine, of course, manifest. But then it said fire. And a little farther, it gave another Greek idea. It says to be seen. And also says to lighten, and that is to show. And also another Greek, farther down in the Greek, another word that it gave, or idea it gave, was to speak or say or affirm, to make known one's thoughts. And I thought, you know, if we're walking in light with God, which he wants us to walk in, and I got thinking about Tom Kruger when he was in heaven, and their thoughts, what was coming out of their heart was exposed. That's walking in the light. Our light's going to have to be walking in God's realm. We have to be thinking like that perspective. We've got to be monitoring our thoughts, keeping ourselves clean, and trying to agree with the Word. I mean, we're doing everything in the kingdom of God now at that level. That's to walk in the light as he is in the light. But it says, it goes back farther. I mean, it went back and it said, there's no darkness in him. And it said, if we say we have fellowship and walk in the darkness, we have no, we lie when the truth's not in us. I said, well, okay, what's darkness? And I went and got looked in the darkness, and it's like, it said, obscurity, dimness, or, you know, basically it's hiding. It's being guile. It's not really exposing yourself to things to clean yourself out. And that's why we go back into John. It talks about if we walk in light as he is in light, and in verse 7 again it says, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses from all our sin. And I thought, well, how is this cleansing us from our sin? If we're going to walk in light with Jesus Christ, we're going to walk in God's Word, we're going to stay in fellowship with each other, and we're going to listen to each other, bring out Scripture, and it's convict us, and we're going to talk about being a priest of God, and we're going to be interceding for others, and we're trying to get right with God now, and we're going to, you know, fast and pray and try to seek the Lord. And we're doing this in a fellowship. The blood of Jesus is cleansing us. It's bringing out the things that we need to deal with. It's helping us see things that we wouldn't normally see in ourselves, possibly in others. And we're getting able to pray and intercede. Now we're coming into fellowship, and we're doing the work of God. We're in the light. We're walking, and we're using the blood of Jesus the way he wanted it to be used. And now he's able to cleanse us because we're coming together. He cleanses us from all this sin. That was just kind of the things I was going through and I seen this morning.
No, that's good. It's because I really see where, you know, we need to bring our weaknesses, our sins, I mean, what we're dealing with into the light, and the flesh wants to draw it into darkness. It wants to hide it. You know, wants to cover it, and you know, when you put a covering over it, it's not exposed. And you know, a lot of times it just, you know, we think that the Lord, you know, we might be caught in something, you know, we might be going around that mountain and can't get out of it, but we're too embarrassed to expose it, we're too embarrassed to ask for prayer, we're too embarrassed to confess our sins. So we put a blanket over it, you know, we cover it, and we, you know, hide it from the light, and, you know, but he wants us to expose everything from the light. The light, the enemy just uses darkness, it uses embarrassment or whatever it is, our pride to keep us, you know, to keep those things hidden so they're not exposed. And, you know, but when we bring them to the light and they're exposed, that's when the Lord can deal with them. And when we confess our sins is when we get healed. And when we expose the thoughts, you know, that's something that I deal with, is I get these thoughts, and they're really not my thoughts. But sometimes I start entertaining these thoughts, and, you know, they're illegal thoughts. But then I catch myself, I'm entertaining, because it might be something you're thinking, you know, you're seeing with your eyes, and it's not necessarily reality. It's not necessarily, you know, it goes against the faith or what you're believing. But, you might hang on to that thought, and then, you know, you get into judgment or something, you start getting, you know, the Lord starts to spank you, you're in a trial, and it's like you just, you know, you're too embarrassed to expose that thought or that lie or what got you in there, and it's just it's throwing a blanket over it. So that's a good analogy, you know.
I agree with you with the thoughts, but I've been doing this too. It's like they're coming in. I've been leaning also on 2 Corinthians 10:5, along with it, casting down imaginations that have every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to be in Christ. You know, I agree. We can't control what Satan throws in our heads. I wish I had a barrier. I wish it was there all the time and just boom, that stopped. But I can't do that. It's just, there it is. And it's like, wow, where did that come from? Or else, at first I'm thinking it's me, and then I realize, wait a minute, that's not me. That might have been me, that might have been the old me, but I don't agree with that. I don't want that. You know, I cast it off and see myself shaking my head sometimes, like, get that out of there, you know. But I know the life I might have been, you know, the life I might have had, where I wouldn't have let go of something like that. And now it's like I find it and I say, no, I don't want that. That's not my life. I know where that's taking me, you know. And I just cast it off. Now, I agree. If we're caught up in something, we can't let go. You know, it's pestering us, and it won't. And we know it's beyond just a dart from the enemy. If it's something that's grabbed hold of our flesh, and our flesh won't let it go, and we're finding a hard time trying to challenge that and overcome, we definitely got to bring something like that out in the light. That's got to be exposed so that we can minister to that, and we can work together in that together. And I said to anybody in the body, whatever, you know, it's, don't feel embarrassed, because I've been there. I've had some dark stuff come out of me, and I'm glad it's gone. But doesn't mean it goes away. It means it has no more power over you. But it means that you don't have to bow down to it anymore. You don't have to feel beaten up by whatever sin that's coming in your life. You can have victory over this. You know, that's our promise in Christ. We can be victors. But by His grace, we can walk through faith that He's going to perfect us and bring us into His image. We have the right not to have to sin. But if we're having something linger in our lives, and we know we can't overcome this, we're having problems, yeah, it's a great time to, you know, come find somebody you trust. Anybody even here, just find a phone number, whatever. We, you know, it's a good time to let it out in prayer and whatever, but that's what the fellowship's all about. Always has been. It should be. It's the way it's built on, that success, that model.
Amen. Yeah, I just really see where that, where we walk in the light, you know, we have fellowship one with another. I mean, we're fellowshipping with Christ, and I mean, He's in us and we're in Him, and that darkness is what, you know, tries to separate us as far as from that fellowship. And it can separate us from fellowship of the brethren around us also, if we get into condemnation or whatever it is, we start believing that lie, or if you're with me, just coming out of rejection, it always tries to bring me back and tell me that, you know, well, look at yourself, you got into judgment, or you whatever happened, you know, you got critical. You know, that's you haven't grown in Christ. That's not Christ. You're wasting your time. And, you know, I just, you get these thoughts, you get into a trial, and, you know, you're believing a lie, and then the enemy just tries to pile it deeper and higher on top of you, and tries to steal your faith, get you totally on what you said or what you did, and if you don't bring the light out to it, it just keeps getting piled on, it's a tough thing to dig out of. But as soon as you expose it, the enemy's exposed, and you pray and you come into agreement and you start, you know, professing the promises, then you can, you know, that heaviness starts lifting off of you, as far as that is what I've found. Any other thoughts on that, comments?
You know, I was just thinking, we just need to practice our faith and just to fight these vain imaginations, like they seem so real and like it's really us. We just need to start practicing, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed of thoughts, or, you know, by the blood of Jesus, and get used to not considering it. You know, we have to do it by faith, like we do everything else, like healing and everything else. And with practice, it just gets easier and easier and easier. But we can't go forward as long as we think we're sinning again by the thought. Anyway, that's my thought.
Amen. Amen. No, that's true. It's just a matter of standing on the promise. You know, just no matter if you feel it, and just knowing that, you know, your flesh can do no good. It's without Christ, it's just no man is good. And sometimes we think we're good, and then we stumble or do something or say something, and then we just see that it's like, you know, why did I do that? Why did I say that? And, you know, you start falling into that condemning yourself. And so that's just another ploy of the enemy. So,
and, you know, it's really a sin to condemn ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's as much a sin as when we condemn someone else. We've got to forgive ourselves, love our neighbor as ourselves, and just get used to it. And just fight for your rights in Christ. Because we've got to start running with what's coming on the earth to just not let that pull us back. And we can do it, we just need to do it, and God will give us the grace to do it, but we need to consider condemning ourselves really bad sin and just quit doing it, I think.
Amen.
And it's not that we think we're any great person, you know, or great holy person. Of course, in Christ, we are covered with the blood, and we are. But it's okay to think that you're hidden in Christ in all areas of your life. That's the whole point. Conforming to the image of Christ and hiding inside of Him completely. And it's all Him. But we need to agree with Him, you know, and enjoy our walk. We're to be walking in peace and joy while we are overcoming these storms. We can ride them like the eagles in peace and joy, and not let them get us down. So anyway, God's good, but that's my thoughts.
Amen. Well, it brings me to Romans 8. It says, you know, that there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And, you know, we need to be in Christ Jesus and not in judgment towards ourselves, you know, as far as that. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. And so we're set free from, you know, that the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So, you know, we just need to stand on that promise that our, you know, that he condemned the sin in our flesh, and we just got to know that we can't do it without him, that the ordinances of the law or the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. I'm going to mute you there, Linda. That walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we need to walk after the Spirit. You know, we fulfill the righteousness of the law. And it says, for they that are after the flesh of the mind, the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So if we entertain the things of the flesh, you know, we got to say, what are we entertaining? What are the thoughts we're entertaining? You know, are they of the flesh? Are they of, you know, us? Are they about us? Are they, you know, are we entertaining the thoughts of the Spirit and what the, you know, the Word says, what the promises said? And are we, you know, entertaining, you know, what is going on in the world or what is going on in the Word? And because, I mean, that's else is the, you know, others around us will, you know, try to condemn us and, you know, point out what we did or, you know, whatever it is. And we just got to keep our eyes on the Lord.
Yeah, we need to just practice staying dead and just keep renewing our mind with the Word of God and just stay dead and know that you're hidden in Christ Jesus. And that's who you are now. That's who we are now. And God will bring us up to it if we act like that. You know, and believe him. We're dead, you know? And let's raising the dead is a thought. We need to quit raising our old man, letting him have any rule at all.
Amen. Because the old man is the flesh, and the mind of the flesh is enemy against God.
Right.
And it doesn't, it's got no subjection to the Word or the law of God, and it can't, you know, it's just no way that our flesh can submit to the law without Christ.
Yeah, it's all Jesus, and that's who we are now. First John 4:17b says, as Jesus is now, and of course that's in his supernatural resurrected power, so are we now in this world. That's who we are. And the devil is so mad, he doesn't want us to enjoy our walk or realize who we are. And we won't unless we stay dead. And it's just a decision every second of every day. But if you don't know the Word of the Lord, if you're not being washed with the water of the Word just drastically, you'll be fooled all the time. And as a man thinketh, so is he. So we need to get our thinker, you know, straight with 1 John 4:17b and enjoy our journey and complete our job, what, you know, that Jesus started. And we can do it in Christ and enjoy our journey. Praise the Lord. I mean, I'm just so thankful for that. It keeps me in the Word and in fasting. God's telling, you know, he's telling me the same thing he's telling you all. And he's polishing us all up. But I'm enjoying my journey as I'm growing, you know. We're to enjoy this, and it's not hard. The only thing that's hard is making a decision to do it and letting the old man fool us. See?
Amen.
And so we just need to quit that and enjoy our journey and grow up into Christ, into all things, be ready for what's coming on the earth, and be ready, you know, to ride the storms in rest, hidden inside of Christ Jesus. I tell you, that's the best deal I've ever heard, and I just appreciate it so much and just thankful.
All right. Thank you, Linda. Does anybody else have a thought on that? Or is being dead to the flesh and alive unto Christ.
Kind of reminds me of when I was reading when it's perfected in Christ. Dave Ells was pointing something out that was really very telling. I think Paul did a very good job in doing this. And this is not to contradict, but it is to kind of bring things into light, not to take our eyes off Christ, but also bring us back to reality and know what we're focused on here. And it says, not that I have already attained or am already made ready perfect, but press on, if so be I may lay hold on that for which I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold. In other words, he's talking about perfection. But one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, he's not looking at his past, and stretching forward the things that are before, he is definitely looking by faith, calling the things that are not as though they are. I press forward to the goal under the high prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect. He's saying he hasn't reached perfection yet, but he's by faith perfect in what Christ has done. He's not letting you say, by faith, I am perfect, because I know what the Word says. I know what Christ did. I'm not saying I have perfected myself. I'm not saying I'm walking perfect now, but by faith, I am in Christ. He says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you're otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. In other words, there's still going to be a sanctification process. It's a process. Only whereunto we have attained by the same rule, let us walk. So, you know, for somebody who wants to feel like my mother-in-law was hitting me up pretty hard the other day because I was trying to talk her and show her the baptism of the Spirit and show her some things, spiritual things, because she came from a traditional church that doesn't have that. And so she got a little irritated, and then she started saying, do you say the police words prayer every day? And I asked him to forgive me, and forgive me my sins every day. Did you do that? And I, well, at the time, you know, I wasn't feeling pretty good. I didn't have any judgment on me at all. I didn't feel like I needed to confess anything because I'd been walking in the light that I had. So I answered her pretty direct. Well, no, I said, I don't feel like I have to confess my sins every day. I'm not sinning like that anymore. I don't think she understands that. See, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can kind of have a walk in the light, and you're not really stumbling like you used to stumble. Whereas those that aren't in that light don't have that Spirit of God in them to help them walk. They're really conscious of their sins, and they feel really like they really aren't making the mark. And so they're very, really sin conscious, and they're always confessing and feeling maybe they're missing, and that's part of their church culture there. But she didn't quite understand that. And then I said, well, I pray in the Spirit. I showed her how to pray in the Spirit. I said, that's how I pray. But even then, after about a week later, I think the Lord let me stumble on. He let me see that, you know, even though I can be walking in the light, there's still areas in my life I can stumble on. There's still things that I'm not perfected in yet that I have to come in terms and say, Lord, you know, I still need your blood. I still need your sacrifice. I still need you in my life to be my Savior. And I'm going to claim that, and I'm not going to let go of that because I know I need your blood, and I can't do this by myself. I do this with you, but I can't do it without you. And I claim him as my Savior for those things. And I'm glad he is my Savior. I'm glad the Father gave me a Spirit so I can walk in the light that I have. But I'm not going to claim perfection because I know where perfection is at, and that's what my eye is on. I'm not going to take my eye off that. But if I know if I stumble, I just confess my sin and move on. But I'm not looking to sin. I'm not trying to. But I still have that flesh I'm dealing with. It hasn't, you know, as much as I would like to think it's dead, sometimes it's there. And I'm not going to lie about that. It does come up once in a while. But it's not something I dwell on either. It's not something I try to glorify or bring to life. But I'm not afraid to, you know, call on the blood of Jesus and realize this is my covenant with my Lord. I can call on that and feel safety and grace when I need it. That's the wonderful thing about our covenant we have. You know, and it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. That's my thoughts.
Right. Well, I really see, as far as what you're saying, is the more truth we have, the more light we have. And with, I think it was, you said your mother-in-law or something, that, you know, she's constantly confessing and asking forgiveness and stuff like that. She doesn't have as much light, so she's kind of in that condemnation, thinking that she can't do better. She doesn't have the full understanding of faith and walking in faith and, you know, and what the Lord is, Christ in us, and that. So, you know, it's just, but she loves the Lord and she's praying every day. And we just see people at just different levels, and the Lord meets them at those levels. But the more we've been seeking out the Word, the more we've been in the truth, the more light that we're getting, the more the bondage is coming off. And we don't have that heavy load. We don't have that heavy baggage that we're carrying around. And, you know, we just, you know, our heart is to bring people into more of the light. But as, you know, we talked about last week and Michael Montana brought up, is that there's just some people that don't have eyes to see and don't have ears to hear because they've got whatever it is, idols. You know, they're idolizing their religion, they're idolizing their belief, they're idolizing their pastor and what they're taught, or, you know, the sect that they're in or whatever it is, but they're only getting so much light, and they're just trying to walk in that light that they have. And, you know, I'm just really seeing, you know, kind of share. I did talk to Tom Kruger this week and had a great conversation with him, and I hadn't talked to him in quite a while. And you know, we just were, you know, just kind of, you know, talking about a lot of different things. And I was really seeing a few things, and I've been just kind of putting some things together that we've been talking about in this fellowship that we have. But, you know, he was just sharing with me that he's still, you know, entering into the throne room, and he's still, when he sleeps at night, he's praying in tongues through the night, you know, and he doesn't dream. He's not having dreams, but his wife is telling him he's praying in the spirit all night long. And, you know, he's being woken up and told to pray for certain situations. So the Lord is, you know, is waking him up, saying, you know, showing him what he needs to pray for, principalities to come against, and, you know, some of it's spiritual warfare and different things like that. You know, but he's, you know, he said that, you know, he's still in the church. And he said that the Lord has actually sent some missionaries into the church, because he shared his testimony about being translated in that. And, you know, there were some people that he knew they were kind of bringing judgment towards him because he was talking about being translated of the Lord and that. And he said some missionaries came in and talking about being translated, and all of a sudden people are, you know, now they're kind of coming to the fullness that, well, God really does this. And, you know, so he's seeing where the Lord is blessing him. But on the other end, man is trying to pump him up. They want him to write a book and different things like that. And he just wants to stay humble before the Lord. And, you know, he's like, the Lord hasn't told me to write a book. The Lord hasn't told me to do any of this. And he's just trying to just stay humble before the Lord. And he was sharing how, you know, he's just, it's here and there where he's ministering to people. It's here and there where he's sharing his testimony. He said he went out to dinner one night and the Lord just convicted him to go over to a table and speak to a woman and share his testimony. And, you know, it was just, he says little things like that, he'll just, you know, be led of the Lord, but it's not every day or anything like that. It's just when the Lord speaks, he just wants to follow. And, you know, so he's seeing, you know, different things. And he brought up the persecution that, you know, is going on in the Middle East and that. And, you know, I started sharing what the Lord has been showing some of us in our dreams and And, you know, over the years, as far as the shaking and the judgment that's coming and that, and I realize that the Lord really hasn't been showing him anything like that. And I'm wondering, you know, and he's living in Florida, and he's entering into the throne room, and he's, you know, just going, having these, you know, just, you know, experiences with the Lord. But, you know, it sounds like the Lord has shown him a little, but is not, that's for some reason, the Lord has not opened that up to him. And then, you know, there's, you know, I'm just meeting other people. I shared, you know, that I met this, you know, this Baptist guy, you know, just on fire for the Lord, that is caught up in the flyaway rapture, and once you're saved, you're always saved, and, you know, just these doctrines. But he was used of the Lord to raise, a, you know, to pray for a girl in the hospital that the doctors gave up on, and the girl was healed. And so, you know, we can't figure out God. I mean, he's meeting different people where they're at. We just got to figure out our walk. You know, we just look at, you know, Michael Montana shared that he's got a friend of his that, you know, has read the Bible over 100 times through this year and knows the word back and forth, but he's living in the middle of, you know, the Bay Area in California, you know, building a company or something. It's just like, you know, his focus is not where our focus is. And but the guy loves the Lord, and he's in the Word, and he knows the Word, and, you know, so everybody is in a different place, and God has got a different purpose for all of us. You know, he just wants us walking in the light that we have and the truth that he's showing us. And you know, we've got a lot of truth that a lot of people don't have, and we're freed up from a lot of bondage that a lot of people don't have. And we just, there's a purpose behind that. And, you know, and we just can't get complacent or anything like that. We got to stay in the light. We got to keep being a, you know, disciple and stay in the Word and be led of what the Lord is showing us. Because, I mean, he's got a purpose behind all this. But we can see that the more light you have, the less bondage you have. Maybe the more trials we're going through. I think we're going through more trials than people that have less light, but there's a reason behind that. And, you know, we've been talking about persecution and that, and really, you know, what Michael brought up last week is persecution is, I mean, it's pretty much normal in the Bible, but, you know, we're not really seeing it here, but it's going on in other areas, and we don't really understand that, but we know it's coming this way. And we know that we he said, you know, something about, you know, we can't have a lot of baggage. Time is too short. And, you know, that's what this whole persecution is about, is the persecution is getting rid of that baggage and exposing the baggage, because, you know, if we got a lot of baggage, I mean, it's just exposed on our walk. So the more, you know, weight we can give off, you know, the more baggage we can get rid of, I mean, it makes the walk a lot easier. And so I'm just, you know, we're seeing where some people have eyes to see and ears to hear and some don't. And we know that the Lord has blinded some of these people. And you try to bring them truth and they just, you know, they're just blinded to it. They don't want to hear it. They're, you know, they're happy where they're at. And it's, you know, it's probably because they have idols, you know, whatever it is, or being blinded by those idols, and the Lord is allowing it, but he's got a purpose behind that. And sometimes we want to judge these people, and we got to be very careful. We can't get into spiritual, you know, pride, because the Lord has given us more light than them. That can be very dangerous. You know, we tend to want to just come against the, you know, the apostate system, but even what we said last week is with, you know, Dimitri Dudeman, you know, in that whole story about him bringing provisions in and, you know, praying and the KGB chasing him, and he gets there and there's, you know, Baptists and Methodists and Catholics and all this all together praying. And it was like, wow, you know, persecution is going to bring the flock together. I mean, there's people in all these different sects that love the Lord, and there's man-child out there, and there's part of the bride, and there's different people out there that are just walking in the light they have, and they're trying to be as obedient to the light they have. But when things start to shake and persecution starts coming, that's when the body is going to come together. That's when, you know, the like mind, the believers, they're, you know, it's just, it's none of the beliefs and all that is going to matter. You know, they're big, you know, castles and all these buildings they've built, none of that's going to matter when there's, you know, war going on and persecution and all these things. It's just going to be, man, we need to get around like people and get in prayer. You know, our only hope is the Lord at this point. So I've just been kind of seeing that it's just a matter of, you know, the Lord's got a plan. We got to just walk in obedience, stay in the Word, walk in what He shows us, walk in the light we have, be as obedient as we can when we think something or say something or do something that's contrary to the Word. We just got to repent, cast it down, cast out the vain imaginations, and just go forward and not get, you know, pointed back at, you know, into condemnation or like, you know, David said, looking behind us. We just got to keep our eyes on the Lord and just moving forward, because, you know, we're just man. You know, we're just trying to figure out God with these pea brains He's given us, and, you know, we just got to figure out what He's showing us. So that's kind of my thought on this whole thing. Amen. Any other feedback or any thoughts? Now, don't get quiet on me now. So.
Well, you only got 50 more minutes of teaching them.
Thanks, Dave. All right, does anybody have any, I mean, this is your time, guys. This is, do you guys have any thoughts on, you know, anything the Lord's shown you, any dreams the Lord's given you, revelation, anything that that you're seeing, testimonies?
Well, I'm seeing a couple guys at work coming around to the Lord I'm working with. That's a good thing. You know, they're seeking. I can see it's the Lord working on them.
Amen.
And so they're kind of migrating closer to me now. You know, I can see that happening. And actually, I have one guy that's just, you know, standoffish, and all of a sudden he decided he's going to start getting into the Lord. And he's actually finding out a lot of truth really fast. So I can see the Lord's doing that. You know, he's working with us. He's come up with the right questions, and he's finding the right answers all at the same time, you know, relatively quick. So that's encouraging. And I got one brother looking into getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, he's like most, you know, it's kind of a different thing, something to think about. His mother is charismatic, very charismatic, and she's got that stand of, you know, you've got to be baptized. You got to be able to speak in tongues, otherwise you're not saved kind of attitude. And I said, well, that's not true, what I said. And I pointed him out to David Ellis. He's got a really good teaching on that, along with Rex Ferrone. Let me see if I can find it real quick. He's got an audio that's Holy Spirit in Tongues, it's called. You can find it in Miscellaneous. And it's very well taught also, along with Rex Ferrone. It's very balanced. It gets people enough information about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and talks about tongues. So I pointed him in that direction so that he would have a little more understanding about what it is. I said, no, tongues is not what you receive. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. I said, but everybody usually receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, can talk, can speak, can pray in tongues also. And then we discussed a little more about what tongues are, because everybody always has that misunderstanding about, well, you know, it's, you know, not everybody gets tongues. I says, well, no, not everybody gets the prophecy or exhortation of tongues to speak out in church and have an interpreter there. I said, that's what the tongues are talking about. It's not your prayer language. I said, that's two different things. Oh. So, you know, getting that some of that stuff ironed out, you know, so this guy can hopefully feel comfortable about getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, anyways, that's where I'm at, what's been going on the last couple of days with me.
Amen. Yeah, I'm just, I mean, we've been seeing just the Lord just moving, and we've just been praying about some things, and we're, you know, we just, you know, see some things, and we just bring it before the Lord, and we're just seeing the Lord just answering prayers and bringing forth, you know, just different things we've been praying about in for other people and in other situations, and praying with people, you know, even at, you know, over work situations and stuff like that. Just instead of just talking about it and bickering about it, and just bringing it, let's get into prayer. Let's get into faith. Let's just turn this over to the Lord. Let Him do it. And, you know, start, you know, coming against the principalities and just, you know, praying for people and asking the Lord to expose and different things like that. And we're seeing them do it. And, you know, we're seeing them change hearts and work through situations and that. And it's, and that's really what He wants us to do. He gives us discernment. He gives us, you know, He opens our eyes to see things so we can just take it to Him and just pray and just put the faith behind it, because He needs faith to work. And so it's kind of neat when you just start praying about everything and you see the Lord, you know, just start working and changing hearts and moving in different areas. And it's not necessarily right away. Yeah, we've been praying about, you know, a certain situation, and I just heard yesterday, I just see the Lord is just changing hearts and moving people out and just, you know, just different things. And, you know, with this gentleman I was talking about at his work, you know, we've just been praying about it and just, you know, just getting into spiritual warfare, and God is just, it's just kind of neat to see him move. So that's what He wants us to do, is just believe for the people we're working with, or, you know, our brethren around us that, you know, might not have as much light, but just, you know, just believe and let Him open up the door. So, amen. All right, anybody else? Well, I'm going to, I guess, I was just seeing in, when I was reading in, I was just in Romans 8 today, and, you know, we've all read this as far as, you know, putting to death the flesh and that, and see, where can I pick up here? 15 says, "For you receive not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you receive a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, cry out to the Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him." So I was just saying that, you know, to be heirs with Christ, to be children of God, to be sons, I mean, it starts with suffering. You know, suffering comes before glorification. And our flesh, you know, the enemy does not want to suffer, you know, for Christ. And that's why the, you know, Let's Fly Away is so popular, because, you know, the flesh doesn't want to go through any tribulation. And so for some reason, we want to believe that we don't have to suffer for Christ. But, you know, it came out next week that persecution and suffering is, you know, is pretty common as far as that. Is everybody muted? So, who that is. "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to usward. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to vanity, not of its own will, but the reason of Him who subjected it in hope that the creation of self also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know not that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And I really never had a real, depth on that, but I just see that, man has brought all creation under the curse. I mean, we're cursing this whole world. We're polluting this whole world. And, the whole world is pretty much under the curse. And, but it's just, all creation, is waiting for the, unveiling of the sons of God, And if anybody's got any more, any depth on that as far as that, but it's just, that's what this is all about, is coming into his image. And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, the redemption of our body. And that's, that's the glorified body. So we're all, right now, we're just, just working on getting our soul saved, our mind, our will, and that, but it's coming to the redemption of our body. For in hope were we saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopeth for that which is he seeth? But if we hope for that which we see not, do we with patience wait for it? And I see that as we just can't, we can't lose hope because, we cannot see the manifestation. Or we don't feel like sons that day or that. That's what the walk of faith is all about. It's just, just claiming and knowing that we're coming into that perfection, as David was talking about, that all we can do is just walk in the light that we have, and it's just, it's patience, we're kind of in the wilderness, we're kind of in the valley, and it's to work patience in us, and that patience is in faith. It's just, believing that what we're believing for our children, what we're believing for maybe in our life or in our body or our manifestation of our eyes or whatever it is, that it's going to manifest. And we just have to be patient because God's going to do it in his timing. And in like manner, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, which is our weaknesses. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the God. And like David was saying, is, just praying in the Spirit, that's important, just to, pray in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to make intercession, for the saints. He knows our weaknesses, he knows what's in our heart, he knows what we're dealing with, and, we gotta bring what we know to the throne of grace. But, when we're praying in the Spirit, he's making intercession, and, I just see that as something that I'm trying to, pray in the Spirit a lot more as far as that. It says, and we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to purpose. And it's really, his purpose in our life, not our purpose in his. So it's, we're being... there's a purpose that he's given us, the light that we have, and the purpose that, where we're at, going through what we're going through, the trials we're going through, I mean, he's trying to slow some of us down. He's trying to get some of us focused. He's trying to, you know, he's trying to direct us. He's trying to expose and show us stumbling blocks and get us out of the mind of the flesh and get us out of the, you know, the sin nature. And, you know, all these things we're going for is for a purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he foreordained, then he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. And there's the promise right there. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? And that's an awesome promise to stand on. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all? Who shall lay hold anything to the charge? And that that charge is, you know, to call as in a debt, or bring to account, or to accuse. It's like, you know, who's accusing us? You know, I mean, we've got God on our side. You know, why are we listening to the accuser? Why are we listening to those thoughts? And it says, who of God's elect? It is God that justifies. You know, it's God that renders us innocent. You know, it's God that renders us, you know, righteous. I mean, he's the one that does it. We can't do it. It says, who is he that condemneth? Well, we know that. I mean, it's the accuser that condemns. It says, it is Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather, that was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or anguish, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And I think Michael Montana read this or brought this forth last week. It's like, you know, can persecution separate us from the love of Christ? I mean, Christ will always love us. But can persecution separate us from the love of Christ that's in us? You know, can we love the persecutor that's bringing the persecution? You know, if we're going through tribulations and anguish, are we going to lose the love that is in us? And that's the Christ that's in us. And, you know, I mean, Christ is always going to love us, but are these things, you know, if we, you know, fall into famine or nakedness or perils or war or whatever it is, we know, you know, there's a reason behind it. We know God loves us. You know, we just have to stand on the promises and not fall out of that love that Christ put in us. You know, we got to stand. And that's why he's, you know, taking us through the things we're going through right now, is just to expose and to bring forth. That's why some of these testimonies and stuff like that is just building my faith. I mean, there's, you know, we're just reading about, you know, or talking about Dimitri Dudeman and these different people that are going through these things. I mean, we haven't had to go through any of that, you know, to that point. But we can't, you know, the little trials that we have, the little situations that come up, and, you know, getting your rent raised or whatever is going on, you can't start murmuring, complaining, and you know, fall out of the, you know, the love of Christ, you know, showing that love. So it says, even as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. And, I mean, if you're killed all the day long, I mean, I just see that as putting to death the flesh all the day long. You know, we gotta kill that old man, gotta kill that old nature. We were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's if we're walking in the truth, there should be nothing that would separate us from the love of God. And the love of God is being in Christ Jesus, you know, him and us and us and him. And, we just got to stand on that. Everything is ordained of the Lord. You know, he is sovereign, and we just got to see the Lord in everything. So, but that was Romans 8 that I was, was in as far as that. So, all right, any comments, any thoughts, testimonies?
I was just thinking how Paul and Silas demonstrated persecution, and they did it by praising the Lord, using that opportunity to win the jailer and his family. We are citizens of a new country, and we act different than the world. And it doesn't matter where we end up. We want it. God is controlling our life. But that has really blessed me, that story of how Paul and Silas handled persecution. You know, they were bleeding and they were beaten. Of course, we understand that pain is under the blood. And I'm sure their faith was at a point where, you know, they were exercising their faith in all areas. So anyway, it's not that we can enjoy our persecution, but they did, you know, in a sense. And it was a positive thing because we are supernatural inside of Christ. And it just doesn't matter what path God has for us. We'll be successful in it as long as we praise the Lord and thank the Lord, no matter what it is.
Amen. And sometimes that's hard to do. Yeah, it's just, I remember when I dropped something on my toe and I was in excruciating pain and I was just walking around the house just praising the Lord and thanking him for this trial. And it's like,
am I on?
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, well, I was thinking, you know, how God showed me that pain was under the blood when the hot skillet sizzled my stomach. And, you know, it takes a little while before the pain comes in, like everything just at a standstill. And then the pain came in, and that's when I started screaming, pain is under the blood, pain is under the blood. And, you know, God put me to sleep, which I just appreciate so much, and you know the rest of the story. But we just need to be quick to just thank the Lord for everything. Praise the Lord for everything, because he's controlling everything.
Amen. All right, anybody else have any thoughts?
Hey, Tim, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Hey, Dave, I was trying to unmute a while back, but I couldn't get through. You know, you're so passionate about the Holy Spirit, which is really awesome. But I was wondering, I don't know your whole testimony on that part where you, I'll tell you what I've got the impression of, is that you came out of a denomination that wasn't, and you weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then somewhere along that line, God got a hold of you and baptized you. And I didn't know if you minded to share that just a little bit.
Well, I got a long walk to get to that point. Yeah, I came out of a denominational system. I grew up a Lutheran and went through the Lutheran school and all that stuff and got confirmed, and then I as I got older and my family moved away from the church we had been going to, we kind of got away from church, and then, like anything else, got very worldly and ran my life really hard, but always talked to God, you know, because he, you know, you have a good understanding of who the Lord is, what the Lutheran teaching, but you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't have that. They tell you have that when you are baptized as a baby, and that's it. And that's any done. You know, you are what you are, basically. So you have a really good understanding of God, but not the scriptures like we do today, I would say, especially David Hill's teaching. So, long story short, ran my life hard, got full of demons along the way because I was running the world. And then one day my brother said to me, he said, you know, I've got friends that are like you. He said, they either get married and settle down or read about them being in the morgue. And I said, oh. And well, I guess I better get married. So I found my wife, and she was a Lutheran girl, and I ended up getting married to her. And then it kind of got me back into church again. But it didn't take me long to realize. And she was generational Lutheran. Me, I was just, we picked up Lutheranism as something to get out of the public schools, basically. And it ended up being a good thing because the public schools I was going to were kind of rough. Anyway, she was generational Lutheran, been, you know, generations of Lutherans in her family. Me, it was just a first-time thing, and I was kind of familiar with it. Been through the routine she had been, but not coming up from her background. So it got me back into church again, and I got involved with it, and I had to go through the adult Bible class and all that stuff, and I started, you know, I picked up on it all, and I was the typical, you know, what you would call the denominational kind of person, but passionate still, you know, driven, but still having my demons with me. So, you know, they drive you still. And so not being able to overcome sin, of course, but still having all this desire for God. And then I got challenged one day from a guy at work about the communion, because the Catholics believe that, you know, Christ's blood is present in the blood with the wine, and it's present with the bread. And Lutherans believe it's present with the wine, that the blood is present with the wine, and the body's present with the bread. But they also believe that you're receiving bread and wine. Well, this guy kind of challenged me on that because he just didn't believe any of that. And I said, well, sure, that's true. And I got researching things, and it got me doubting, and I got questioning the church and a few other things. And pretty soon I'm reading the Bible and looking things over and starting to wonder about what they're teaching and hearing things. And I thought, that's not right. And that gets pretty soon that got me where I started looking for another church, ended up into a what's called it's called Calvary Chapel. One of those came into town. I live up north here in Michigan. Well, Calvary Chapel, they got their starting out in California, and they kind of expanded out from a guy named Chuck Smith. And he has a pretty good ministry going. It's they teach word for word. In other words, they go through a whole book of a Bible when they're teaching. That's what they do. They come in, you read a couple chapters, two or three, whatever they can cover in the 40 minutes or whatever they're doing it, 45, maybe an hour. Go over it, and that's pretty much it. And you have this couple songs, but it was really more of a teaching ministry, you know. So that was good for a few years, but still there was problems. I could see problems in the denomination there. It still has a denominational setting. You still have the pastor. It's a Nicolaitan kind of setting still, to a degree. And I didn't understand that. I thought Nicolaitans, well, that's the Catholics, you know. That's what they do. But I could see where things weren't really perfect in that denomination either, especially with the fellowship. I mean, it would be great. We had a great fellowship for like a few years, and it was just wonderful, and a great music ministry, and people were kind of close. And then, you know, things got turned around a little bit, or one guy decided he's going to attend a house church meeting. The pastor got upset about that, you know, and he got jealous, and it came out. And a few other things were happening. I admitted to a sin, and they, you know, chastised me in front of everybody for that. And I thought, wow, this is kind of strange. And so I kind of fell out away from that, and then I got to just kind of stay away from church for a long time. And then ended up having a few problems at work, and I had to stay out of work for a little while. And it wasn't me, it was a problem. Actually, well, I was involved with it, but it wasn't my problem. But it was a way for me that the Lord had removed me from everything and just get me where I was by myself, where I wasn't busy. I had to sit here and just do nothing. And I got focused on the internet a little bit, and I got on a Bible study kind of a group that was still kind of out there but still searching, kind of a searching group. And this one girl mentioned UBM Ministry, and I thought, huh. So I started checking it out and started finding more and more and started listening and teaching, and I went back to work and I started to get more, and then pretty soon, you know, I'm listening about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then I finally got all the elders, and I said, you know, I found out about the outreach ministry, and I started getting involved in that. And I actually, Paul was still there, and we worked through it, and I still had some demons that needed to be cast out. And he, you know, I gave him credit. He had some understanding about the demonic realm, at least back then before he fell away. So he was able to cast a few things out of me right away. He spotted, and because that was hindering me from receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being able to speak in tongues. And once that was done, I got that baptism. I was able to speak in tongues fluently. I mean, a whole full language. And it was like then it was just off to the races, because the more that guilt was bothering me and things were starting to shed off me more. And, you know, everything just started really turning around for me a lot. But it all happened, and it was a progression. It was like a 12 or 13-year progression from the time I left the church till the time I really got involved with UBM. So it wasn't a fast thing for me. It was a slow thing, and a lot of trials, a lot of stumbling, a lot of heartbreaking times. You know, but when you're driven, you know, by demons, you follow that path until they're out of your life. And you know, having come from a family that was broken, my father was divorced, my mom early, and had all this baggage inside of me from that. You carry a lot of things in your life that just, you know, that are oppressive. And so that's kind of part of my story a little bit, I guess.
Well, Dave, when did you find out you had demons? At what point of that story? Or really understood it?
Well, I would think it was when Paul, we were talking, because initially, actually, Michael Hare prayed for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and before that, another pastor did once, and nothing would ever happen. And I thought, well, you know, what's wrong with this? You know, I think, what's wrong with me? Why can't this happen? You know, it's like you start having doubts. You think, you know, am I not, you know, allowed to have this for some reason, or am I not saved, really? I'm just, you know, wasting my time. And then I got back with Michael, and they gave me the Paul. And Paul, you know, because he had a little spiritual disturbance then, he just asked me, well, did you ever touch in a Ouija board? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, well, you got an occult spirit. He said, that's what the problem is. So he cast that out, and I confessed a few sins that I was having, or the sexual sins I was having in my life, you know, pornography and all that stuff. And we got that rid of and cast all that stuff off. And then it's like, I mean, because he recognized, he just went in there and started attacking these things for me. And then once I received the baptism of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, was able to start speaking tongues, a lot of things started to lift from me then. I mean, you know, Satan challenged me about speaking in tongues, but I was able to repress that, and just it was just a transition period. I personally didn't realize it was a demonic bondage. I knew there was problems, but I thought, you know, everybody had problems. I thought everybody just was oppressed. That was just part of life. But I didn't realize it was probably something I picked up from childhood, and that stays with you, you know. And you're not really aware that's the problem. You just know things aren't right, but you don't really know how to deal with it. And you don't know why. You can't overcome. You're thinking, well, it's just the way things are. And in the nominal church, in the denominational church out there, people aren't overcoming. They just talk about sins being forgiven all the time and confessing your sin, but they never talk about being able to walk away from sin, because they can't do that themselves. So they don't have, you don't have that ability to walk in newness of life. That's a concept they don't really understand because they don't have that. They just know about confessing your sin and realizing you're always going to be a sinner saved by grace. And I actually had a pastor say, "Well, you'll never be perfect." And that was after I understand the truth and been at UBM. I realized real quick, oh, he's a false prophet. He knows nothing about the word. He didn't believe it. They don't have no way to believe the word. All they believe is grace. Believe that they have grace, and they don't even feel like they have it, but they claim it and they run to it all the time, and they understand salvation to a degree about what Christ did at the cross, but they aren't able to walk in the newness of life because they don't have the Spirit to help. They still have the bondage. They still have the baggage that goes with all that. And when you have that and everybody else has that, you don't realize there's something else out there until you receive it.
Amen. Yeah, it's kind of interesting where what I was seeing was, you know, you kind of were in the Lutheran system and then just came out of it and just went totally into the world. And then the fear of death, I mean, it's like a wife for the morgue was something that, that fear of death is what, got you seeking a wife because you knew that there was probably some truth behind that because of your lifestyle. And then it really took somebody, a challenge, somebody challenging you. But what happened was it got you to read the Bible. And it started, through being in that word by seeking out to try, challenge or find out that, that challenge. It started opening your eyes. You started, get more light, right? And
absolutely.
Yes. So really that challenge got you into the word. And then, once you got into the word, you saw the deception that was in the church, in that church. You started to see the apostasy, you started to see the, what didn't line up with the word, and it caused you to want more truth and get into a church that had truth. So you sought out a church that was a teaching church, that was teaching the truth. But then it took, what I would say is, the jealousy or the judgment.
The faction that's going on.
Yeah, the faction. And God uses that faction to bring us, to move people, to separate people or whatever. But that just, that tribulation that you were going through at that time actually brought you into the wilderness. You were kind of like in a wilderness type thing where you were, and then you took your job or started, I see the Lord in this whole thing where he started to pull things away, and you still had that in you to search out the truth, and and that's what led you, as far as to UBM. And once you came into more of that truth is when you were seeking, the baptism, and the hindrance was you needed deliverance, and you probably didn't even know you needed deliverance. I mean, most systems out there, teach that a Christian can't have a demon or don't understand, the power of
absolutely
that, So... but through that is really when you I'm just watching this progression and the Lord behind it, that once you got that deliverance and you renounce the occult, you started separating from your flesh, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you started, just seeing more power, more things coming in your life, and that's why you're excited about it. Because you really saw once you stepped over that threshold, how this, the door just swung open. And that's when you really, were on the quest to being an overcomer, and, you started, overcoming. And so through that whole thing, you're seeing, the Lord has opened your eyes, and by
putting the word in, you're able to see the false prophets and the deception and the things that were going on that didn't line up with the word. And the thing was, is you didn't stay complacent in it. You want you, the Lord put in you, to, you know, the hunger for more truth. And, you know, it was a 13-year trial, but look where it's, you know, look where it's brought you. And
that was a long road. It was a long road, but, you know, I don't know. Everybody's got a different path, how they got here, you know. And I know you guys, what you went through. I know what I went through. It seems like there's different levels of apostasy out there for their denominational kind of churches and their non-denoms, you know. But it's just, if you're seeking truth, you're going to, the Lord, if you're called, he's going to get you there. It may not be as fast as you'd like it to be, but it will happen. But it's a mystery to how you get there sometimes, but it just falls into place. The Lord's there to make sure it happens, which is a good thing. He's there enough to give you enough discernment that you know you're still not there. You still are searching for something, but you don't know what it is until you find it.
Amen. But that truth came from really the Word. You know, that's where the freedom started to come. So I think that's where we really, you know, with a lot of the people we're praying for, that, you know, we pray that the Lord will just open their eyes, give them a hunger for the truth, give them a hunger for the Word, and, you know, because that's the beginning of that journey. And we can try to, you know, we can throw a challenge out there or something the Lord has shown us through a testimony, I think is a good way of, this is what the Lord showed me, and you know, we could try to throw a challenge out there, but we can't drive it down their throat. You know, it's got to be the Lord doing it in them to put that hunger in them to get into the truth. And, you know, but some of them, I guess, you know, apparently you didn't have an idol. So, you know.
Well, I think it helps to have a heart for the truth. I mean, if you have idols, your idols are gonna walk away from you when you start seeking truth and realizing, hey, I may be wrong here. I may not have this all right yet. And I got to be willing to accept what the Lord's going to say in his word rather than what I thought was true. Once you come to that point in your life where you're going to start believing the Lord and the word and what people have to say, and if it lines up with the truth, you know you have to change. That's the repentance, you know. It's okay to repent and change and move on with your life in the Word, because that's the Bible's all about repenting all the time. And that's the turning point in your life, when you're willing to give up what you think is right and realize, well, maybe I don't have this right. Maybe I got to examine this some more. When you start coming to that point where you can be honest, then the Lord can take you and show you things.
Amen. And I think that's because I kind of look back, and one thing that I remember David saying was, hey, don't believe this because I'm telling you. This is just what the Lord showed me. You need to seek this out for yourself. You know, he said, and that was a challenge. It was, you need to find this for yourself. This is what he showed me. And, you know, when he brought that out, I'd never heard anybody say that before. And that was humility. You know, that was a form of humility. And, but it was actually a challenge for me, saying, wow, this guy is, he's giving God all the credit. And, you know, this is what he showed me. And, you know, you need to see what the Lord shows you. And that's, you know, but I had to be like, you know, at that point where, because I knew I'd been searching for truth and the rapture made no sense to me. I just could not put that together. And there was like a lot of things that I just could not put together. And when I, went through the sovereign, you know, Sovereignty of God book, it was like all of a sudden the pieces of the puzzle started coming together. And, and then I'd be reading the word and I would see it, and all of a sudden things started, making sense. And that's, but it was sort of a challenge. And it was, so what I did is I look at different people's testimonies and how I pray. And, I see other people that are, that might be caught up in the denomination and I can just pray for them that God is going to open their eyes. But I saw in there the challenge is what got you into the Word. And that's something that I'm really seeing, that when I fell into that apostasy, I really wasn't in the Word. I'd carry my Bible every Sunday and I'd open up to where the pastor was opening up, but the rest of the week, I would barely ever open up the Word. And, but it was until the Lord opened my eyes and put a challenge in my heart and put a hunger in there, when everything started to, I started searching, reading, and all of a sudden I started getting set free and delivered and, a lot of different things as far as from the apostasy, from the false, false beliefs and that. So, but that was good. Good testimony. All right. Anybody else have, got a few minutes left, anything that's on their hearts, anything they'd like to share? Yeah, we were just talking, and we went to a wedding last week, and I think I shared a little bit about that. I was, administering to this gentleman I prayed for, and all he did was just claim the curse, everything wrong with him and stuff like that. And but the highlight of the night was there was a young man in the wedding party, and they were doing toasts to the bride and groom. And he wasn't the best man. He was just in the wedding party. And he actually had kind of, long hair, kind of in the back and that, but he stood up and he just started, I think it was, it's 1 Corinthians 13, the love scripture, and he just started proclaiming, as far as how that is Christ, and comparing the bride and the groom to Christ. And it was just this young guy got up, and he just started preaching, and it was just awesome. It was like such refreshing, because everything prior to that was just traditions of man, tradition, just all this star glory, and there was just it was just kind of, it was a Christian wedding, but there was people dressed there very worldly and sexual, and just it was like, just this isn't edifying Christ. And and I just, was at a point where when he, when this guy stood up, started proclaiming Christ, it was like, wow, man, I need to be talking to that guy. But the Lord didn't allow it. I kind of got lassoed by, hearing about the curse and all that. But I would like to pray, for his name is Dwayne. It's Luke's, or the bride's, the father that I've been praying for, and the Lord has healed. I've prayed for him twice, and both times the Lord has healed him. And, he was sharing that the last time I prayed for him, he was, they were telling him he's going to lose his foot, because he had staph infection. And I shared Tom Kruger's testimony, and I was just trying to speak faith into him and that. And then I just found out today that he's back in the hospital. So, I just want to, let's put our faith together. He's just been heavy on my heart. So, Father, I lift up Dwayne to you, Lord, and Lord, I know he loves you, and he professes you, he's just caught up in a lie. He's just caught up in apostasy, and he's just in the curse, and you know, trusting in man and believing the bad report of the doctors, and you know, his eyes are more on man than they are on you. He knows you're, you know, you are his healer, but he's just double-minded. He's just walking in, just, you know, just doubt and fear and being led by the curse, and he's got the curse all around him. And Lord, I just ask you just mercy on him, Lord, Father, that you just grant him grace, Lord. Father, he needs faith. He needs true faith, not just believing in Jesus, but believing everything that that word has, is promised to him. And Lord, we just stand in for him, Lord. We put our faith together for him, Lord. Father, we just ask that you just allow him to cry out to you. Allow him to just give up on man and give up on his works and trusting in his insurance and doctors and all that, and just to get his eyes on you. And Lord, we just ask that you just grant him just a healing, Lord. You fill him fully your faith, Lord. Father, I pray that you fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord, with the utterance, Lord, that you just do just an overhaul on him. We just bind up those religious spirits, those lying spirits, those complacent spirits, those just fly away and always saved and whatever's in there, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for just blessing him and just have mercy on him. We thank you for healing him and giving him the renewed mind of Christ. And just give him a hunger for truth, a hunger for the word. And we just thank you for that, in Jesus' name. We just praise you, Lord. Well, it's been another awesome night. We just love you guys, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Good night, everybody.